take apart a flashlight, hide it all over the church, and turn out all the lights and play in the dark. There's a hole that was in the wall down there, I think, from that game, potentially. Multiple times, I think. There was one person who, and I won't necessarily name who, like within weeks of a grade 8 piano exam, hurt a finger. I was quicker through the pews then. I was quicker through the pews than everybody but one person, which is Alice and Dick. I could not outrun her and I could not catch her through the pews in the dark. How many of you have ever tried to work in the dark? Work almost blind, where you're trying to do something and you just can't see what you're doing. I think of mechanics with stuff like that, and I was never much of a mechanic, I'm afraid. I'm not. Changing a power steering hose on our Astro van. Ben gave me a hand. And at one point, we had it loose. At one point, though, one of us was on top of the engine, reaching down, going like this on one side of the nut, and one was underneath, going like that on the other side of it, so that we could undo this stupid power steering hose. It's no fun when you can't see what you're doing when you're reaching in blind. Sometimes we'll use our cell phones, right? It's a light. It doesn't go very far. We have a light on them. Sometimes we grab a flashlight, and that's all right. Couldn't talk about stuff like this without bringing Joelle's one of her latest buys. Ooh, yes. And it has two settings, so I won't actually shine them right at you because it's actually quite blinding. And we have used this so much. I really should be getting some kind of a fee from Milwaukee. It's tough to work in the dark. It's tough to work in the physical dark. It's tough to walk in the dark. Tough to do most things in the dark. We can learn certain things, and we have that ability, and those who are born blind or develop blindness somehow, they have to, but some things can't be learned and can't be adapted to. There's the physical darkness that we can solve on our own, right? We can do this. We can go looking in dark corners. But Scripture talks about a spiritual darkness. And it's more than just an inability to see physically. It talks about the directionlessness, the hopelessness, the sinfulness, the how do I navigate this-ness. I'm sure that's not a word. The darkness of this world that we live in every day. And it's a mess. It's funny how we hear proclamations of new discoveries and new this and new that and new everything, and we're getting so progressive and we're learning so much. And then on one hand, we look and we see nobody knows how to solve this problem. Nobody knows how to solve that. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with the increase in suicides? How do we deal with the increase in hopelessness, homelessness, all of these things? The theme that Adele read from is Jesus is the light. And the theme of the message is actually Jesus is the light in the darkness. And I won't even say a light in the darkness. I will say he is the light in the darkness. And she actually read the passage that I'm going to speak on. It was one that I gave her as an option and I didn't tell her. So this is good. John 1:1-13. Although we'll be looking at various passages, and Jesus is the light of the world, at least five times in the book of John, John comes back to this idea that Jesus is the light. And it's often light in the darkness, except for one time when it's actually in reference to and in connection with him healing a blind man, born blind from birth. And he talks about he is the light of the world. So let's just read through some of this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. We're in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As I read that, I immediately thought of another passage, which is in Genesis chapter 1. And John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning. And so we're going to read Genesis chapter 1, parts of it. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then we're going to jump down a little bit to verse 14. And this is now the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light above upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. I don't know how many times I had read this until someone pointed it out to me, or I heard. There was light the first day. The sun and the moon and the stars weren't made until the fourth day. Isn't that interesting? But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and Jesus is referred to as the light. He was there. He made everything. And what's really interesting, I'm going to jump you right through to the end of the Bible. Someday, I've been saying this for years, someday I'm going to study the first three chapters of Genesis and the last two or three of Revelation together. So it'd be a really interesting study. Revelation 21, verse 22 says this, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city, now this is the New Jerusalem. This is John's vision of what heaven is going to be like in the New Jerusalem in heaven. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb, Jesus. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, what a neat truth. At the beginning of creation, and at the end of time, in a sense, however you see time's ending, starting, but through all eternity, Jesus was the light, Jesus is the light, Jesus will be the light. Isn't that neat? Verses 4 and 5 say, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or not understood it. Wendy read John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We live in a funny world. Like I was saying, we, especially North America, we think we've got it all, and we understand it all, and we know it all, until we don't. Everybody has an answer for something. Everybody has an answer for this is the problem. But they never seem to get solved. And I was thinking about this, how often I get into discussions about what's wrong with this world, and what's wrong with politics, and what's wrong with Canada, and what's wrong with whatever. And how seldom I sit back and just think, or even actually say out loud, you know, there's someone that's got this all figured out. This is a dark world. But have you ever tried? Unless you can walk right up to it, Have you ever tried taking the light out of a room? It's really, really tough to do. And with Jesus, it's actually impossible. The darkness cannot overcome him who created, him who will reign. The darkness cannot do it. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 to 6 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." No matter how good the battery of our thing here, and this is, okay, I could put in another little plug here. This is like a 12 amp hour battery. This thing, but it's a massive battery. And that light actually doesn't take too much juice. I'm pretty sure we could run that light for 24 hours on that battery. 72 hours? But sooner or later, it's going to run out. The creator of the world does not run out of spiritual light. It doesn't dim. He doesn't go dark. Verses 6 to 8 says, "There is a man sent from God whose name was John, came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. But he was the messenger, he was the announcer, he was the proclaimer that someone was entering into our world to be that light. A witness is one who tells what they know and what they've seen. Someone's on the way. He's almost here. He's the one that will save. He's the one that will rescue." Verses 9 to 11. "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The true light that gives light to everyone." In the ESV, it actually says, "which enlightens everyone." To enlighten is to give understanding. John 12:46 says, "I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." He enlightens. Psalm 119:105 is very familiar. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path." I find it actually easier to sing the song than I do quote the verse. So what does that mean? That he enlightens. Again, let's use that image of walking, of going on a journey. I get a kick. We've been watching an old show called 5 Mile Creek from the 80s. And it's kind of set in Australia. It's an interesting show. But one of the things that they do, and I mean, I get that there's moonlight at times, but they had to go riding looking for someone that was lost, had been kidnapped, and they're riding through the dark on horses reasonably quickly. And I'm thinking, how do you navigate in the dark? I was pushing Bush last week for Johnny and Ed P. Hatch, and I got turned around in the daylight. I was literally 90 degrees out. I was here, and that building over there was over here, and everything was wrong, and it's a really weird feeling. That he enlightens us. He gives light to our path. It means we no longer need to walk in the darkness. Do you ever feel uncertain about what's going to happen in your future? Do you feel unsure, uneasy? What's where we're going in our world? Because we now know the one who holds the future. We're uncertain in uncertain times. God is not uncertain. We're in dark times. God is not astounded by the darkness. He's not stumped by it. And he enlightens us. He guides our path. He guides our steps. Verses 12 and 13, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus came into the world as a baby, and in some ways a candle, right? Didn't give off a lot of light as a baby, and yet his birth was predicted by prophets, his coming was proclaimed by angels singing and declaring the glory of God, shepherds and wise men seeking him out. But as he grew, the light shone further and brighter, and it seemed to be extinguished at the cross, and yet that was the start of the triumph. Christ rose from the grave, the light shone brighter in the darkness. Pentecost happened, and in a sense, the light went out further and further. After Pentecost, it spread throughout the world. One day it will shine in heaven, and it will be coming directly from the glory of God. And that's someday, but we're invited to take part today. It says, to all who received him, to receive Christ, to walk in the light and yet escape the darkness. It's our job to ask that question. Have you received him initially? If you haven't, will you? If you have, will you continue to? And I think that's the challenge for most of us today. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 say, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Last week we heard a sermon, if you weren't here, it was good. Sermon on abiding in Christ, of remaining in him. And walking in the light requires that abiding in Christ, continuing in him. We receive him initially, but we can receive that light daily. Continue in him. He is sure of the path ahead of you. Tomorrow, next week, next year. We literally at times feel like we're talking in Sunday school about Paul wanting to get to Rome. And he, for a long time, he knew he wanted to get to Rome, that he was going to get to Rome, God was going to have him get to Rome. Very rarely do we know stuff like that. Sometimes we do, and God reveals it to us. More likely, I can see, and there's a book. Isn't there a famous book? Or a famous quote? That he, enough light for the next step. It's usually about all that we see. But he knows the path. He knows the steps. Amen? Amen. I want to finish just with verse 14. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.